Maybe his biggest accomplishment yet. He's going to be on NHL 15. Ray Ferraro joins us now. Ray, how you doing?
I'm doing well. When the news came out today, it's pretty clear that it's more important to be on a video game than it is to be an ex-NHLer.
Well, the younger generation's like, yeah, the young kids are like, Ray Ferraro played in the NHL? What? Oh, but I know him on NHL. See, this will just get you into a whole new demographic. It's perfect.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun to do. It was a lot more work than I thought it was going to be. And I mean, let's be honest here. It's not like, you're not breaking rocks.
Yeah.
It's not like it's physical work, but it's five sessions. I think I taped five sessions of about 5 hours each.
Yeah.
And, the guys that put the game together, they're genius. I mean, they think, they've got all these different scenarios, and you say something and they go, well, no, that's not going to work because of the way the animation works. And, they're putting this all together in their heads because they haven't seen a finished product yet. And so it was really interesting and really fun to do.
Do you have like a tagline that fans will hear all the time now from Ray Ferraro?
I don't think all the time. I don't know. Do I say anything all
no,
the time?
No, that's what I was wondering. I thought maybe you'd create one.
No, but I mean, I don't even know. I don't even know. Sometimes you hear from people and, because everybody likes to rag you if you say something wrong, of course. And
Yeah. If
you say the same thing twice in a row, somebody's pointing it out to you. But I don't think I do.
Yeah. No, I was just curious if maybe you started
you
one.
You might know before me.
No, I was just curious you started one.
No, I did not. No, I did not do that. And, at least to my knowledge, I didn't.
Do you rip any of the guys?
That's a hell of a lot of volume of words. That's a hell of a volume of words. 25 hours of stuff. I might have said the same thing a few times.
You must have a... Because I know the reason why a lot of fans like you as an analyst, you're very good at explaining the game quickly to what you see, and you're also not afraid to call it like it is. Do you have a few calling it like it is? Like, is there any that's embarrassing kind of things when we were talking
about
the empty net goal? Or missed goal,
yeah,
I should say.
There's a couple of those, yeah, for sure.
Nice.
But basically what you get is you get a scenario, and, it'll say highlighted player, misses a breakaway. And that's all the information you have. And so you have to make the story out of that, but it can't be too specific because – you don't know exactly what's happening in the game at that time. I don't know if that makes any sense to you.
Like,
I
totally
can't say here's a great chance coming down the wing, because you don't know if he's coming down the wing.
Yeah.
And it took me a while to get my head around that. The poor guys there, they're like, we don't know if it's down the wing. We don't know if he's in the middle of the ice. In other words, hey, dum-dum, catch up to the game here.
Ray,
it was fun, though.
Oh, I'm guessing it'd be fun. Your kids are going to love it. Are you kidding me? Oh, be all over that.
I told Landon, who plays quite a bit, because that's when you're riding the buses, you play a lot. And I said, hey, that EA hockey you play, EA? And he's like, yeah. And I said, I didn't say anything. And he goes, oh, come on, stop it. And I said, everywhere you go, son, you got to listen to my voice.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so he'll probably hate it. That's classic. I'm always here. I'm watching. Nice.
Yeah, everywhere you go, I'm there somewhere. And he's like, yeah, great.
The Ron Francis comes in, Ray. I don't know if this is a major surprise. The new GM wants his own guy. So the head coach and the assistants gone out of Carolina. Thoughts?
Yeah, not surprised. It's not like they put together a great season and you might think that, there might be a holdover. The only thing I thought he might get with would be whether, for financial reasons, if they had to stay with the coach, for another season. So I'm not really surprised. I don't know where Ronnie will lean to, but he's a well-connected, well-respected guy. The easy connection is to say to somebody like Kevin Dineen, because they were line mates for so long in Hartford and have been real good friends for a long time. But I don't know that that necessarily is the case, but I would suspect Kevin would get an interview anyway.
There's been a lot of people wondering about the Stahls down the middle. And, you know, I went back and looked at Jordan Stahl's season. And really, you know what? He's basically being a 50-point guy. And last year was on pace for that this year. He had 40 points this year. This was a down season for him. I know he has a long contract, but when you're a GM who understands the importance of center having played there your whole life, do you think there's any, like, I don't see Jordan Stahl, the guy that's getting moved out of Carolina. Do you?
No, I don't. They've got a lot of money tied up in the middle of the ice, you know, with the Stahl brothers. And then you've got another, what is it, $6 million on Alexander Semin. So they're plus Cam Ward. I mean, they're very top heavy, like a lot of teams. But they're a budget team. They're not a cap team. They're a budget team. And I don't see Jordan Stahl being moved. But nothing would surprise me. I'll say this, Jason. Nothing would surprise me because they don't have enough. They don't have enough depth in their lineup. And if you're so top heavy in salary, then you're not going to have depth. And so they might have to make a move that. Look, you're not going to trade Alexander Semin in his contract. That's not happening. You've got a better chance of making a significant move if it's somebody else.
Yeah, I'm with you. I didn't see it. I know it's a name out there, and I think because a lot of people feel that he would be a good fit for a lot of teams, specifically here in Edmonton. Oilers fans would love a big center like Stahl, and he's exactly what they need. I just don't see Carolina eagerly wanting to move him. Let's get to the game.
I mean, if they do, what are you offering up?
Yeah, well,
again, this is where the last time we did this, people got their shorts in a knot because do you think they want a question mark? No.
No.
Not for Jordan Stahl. They want a sure thing.
Exactly.
And I'm not going to bring up any names because, as I said, last time people got everything all tied up in knots. So do your own evaluation and you tell me who would be on an equivalency of Jordan Stahl, because it's a pretty short list.
It is very short. Ray Ferraro, analyst for TSN, joins us. Ray, give me your, Chicago's top guys right now, they're just too good. Like, Minnesota's top guys in this series haven't been, and they're not as good anyway, especially up front, but right now Chicago's best guys are just a landslide ahead of Minnesota's.
I don't know how you combat that.
Yeah.
I mean, Chicago's best guys are better than a lot of best guys. You know, and no matter whether it's Minnesota or if it's somebody else, Minnesota has to play perfectly to be in those games. They can't make a mistake, because if they do, Chicago's guys, like we just said, have been better than theirs. Like, just look at the Taves goal the other day. Somehow the Minnesota defense doesn't notice that Marian Hossa standing behind them, and that's mistake one. But Brizgalov makes a fantastic stop, and then if you watch where Jonathan Taves comes from, there's no way he should beat three Minnesota Wild player up the ice, including Mikko Koivu, to poke in the rebound.
Exactly.
That should just never happen.
Yep.
And if you're Minnesota and that does happen, you're going to lose every time, because you can't outscore those types of players. So you just can't make the mistakes that cost so dearly. And they've done it.
Pittsburgh and, they're 1-1. Lundqvist kept that game tighter than I think it was yesterday.
Oh, would be good. Hey?
Yeah. And now they play back-to-back. This is their fifth game in 7 days. You know, I know it's in New York, but I kind of feel like this is a must-win game for Pittsburgh against a team that's maybe a little bit fatigued to the Rangers.
Well, I think, I wouldn't say it's a, you know, I don't say must win, Jason, but I think there's an opportunity here for them to take advantage of a team that has to be a little bit worn down. Even though they were just going back and forth to Philly and then back and forth to Pittsburgh, they've got to be worn down a little bit. So I would suspect that you could get the jump on them, and if you're able to play at a really high pace, I think you can wear them down. Now, I don't think this is a must-win for Anaheim tonight. I think it's a really good idea, if they don't lose both games at home. I don't think it's a must-win for Pittsburgh, but you've got a team that's got to be reeling a little bit. Because last night, you're right, I mean, Lundqvist was just fantastic, or else that game was long over. And part of that has to be that they just didn't have the energy that they needed to play with.
You can, you know, Sidney Crosby hasn't scored a goal. It's funny how people's perception changes so quickly. I kind of chuckle at it. I still, and I'm not the biggest Crosby fan, but I think he's the best player in the game. I know he hasn't scored, and that's his job to score goals, and that's fine. He doesn't have a goal in 8 games. But everybody's saying, well, Jonathan Toews is the best. I'm like, yeah, but Jonathan Toews only had 1 goal in the first 20 games last year on the way to their cup run, and no one talked about it as much. Sidney Crosby sets the bar so high, Ray, for offense, that if he goes 8 games, should people really be that concerned about his overall game, or is he just a guy riding some bad luck?
Well, I think there's some games he hasn't been as good as he'd like to be, you know, not up to his standard. I think there's been some other games, like last night, it looked like there were 2 Crosbys on the ice. He was everywhere. I'm constantly amazed, Jason, with this venom towards Crosby with some portion of a fandom, and I don't quite get it. I mean, he works really hard. I mean, he's an incredible worker. He's unbelievably skilled. You know, he didn't anoint himself the best player in the game. Everybody else did. And yet there seems to be this, I don't know, people almost, they want him to fail. They relish in the fact when he struggles. And I don't get it. I just don't understand it. Look, I love Jonathan Toews as a player. And I love Sidney Crosby as a player. And if you held a gun to my head and said you can only have one, I'd take Crosby. And that's just that's got nothing to do with Jonathan Toews. It doesn't, you know, I mean, who wouldn't love Jonathan Toews on their team? My goodness, the guy's fantastic. But if I could only take one, I would take Crosby. And so should they be concerned if you're a Penguins fan? Yeah, you bet. Because they're not going to win a Stanley Cup if Sidney Crosby's got 2 goals and 8 assists at the end of the playoffs. That's not going to happen.
No, and I think you know, he's got 6 points in 8 games, and he's in a slump. So, something tells me he'll eventually get out of it. Looking ahead to the Ducks and the Kings, Ray. You know, Anaheim, they played well in that first game, but you know, Gabra comes up with, you know, a late game goal. What happened? You know, what could Anaheim have done different in your mind in that final minute so they don't give up that lead and ultimately the game?
Oh, well, 2 things, really. 3 things. 2 of them, unfortunately, involve Brian Allen. Nick Bonino wins the faceoff cleanly. Allen goes around the back of the net. The puck has to go out. He's got it in full control. And so he shoots it, and Marion Gabrick knocks it out of the air. Well, first of all, Cogliano's standing there. You could pass it to him and he can shoot it out, or you can fire it around the board so Cogliano only has to deflect it out. But he shot it like he did, and Gabrick, to his credit, knocked it out of the air. So then the puck goes around the other side, and Mike Richards comes down the boards to keep it alive, and Getzlaff swats at the puck. Now, if Getzlaff had stood, you know, had moved his body in front of Richards, the play would have died. That would have been the end of it. But he tried to play it with his stick, and that kept the play alive. And then the third one was that Allen got stuck watching the puck and doesn't take Marion Gabrick behind him. So what could they have done differently? Hell, they won the draw. They got the puck in perfect shape, and they don't get it out of the zone. I don't know how many times you're able to say that, you know, because it happens. I mean, it happens, man. I mean, it's like the puck's got to go out. When it doesn't, scramble happens. And sometimes you scramble and get your way out of it, and sometimes it ends up in the back of your net. And for Anaheim, that was a crucial mistake.
And one last one for you, Ray. Save this one till last, because both of us wanted to avoid it, but we have to address it because we were the co-presidents of the Idiot Club, once again picking the San Jose Sharks when I vowed I would never do it again 4 years ago, and lo and behold, I did. And lo and behold, they screwed me over to a level that I never thought. When they were up 3-0, I was like, okay, this series is over. And, you know, you give LA credit, and that's why I think we play 7-game series and not best of 5s, or that series would have been over. But is this... was this collapse worse because, or is it because it's the Kings and maybe, who knows? What do you make of the San Jose Sharks, and, you know, what can they do differently next year, if anything?
Well, oh, man, there's so many talking points with the Sharks, isn't there? And the fact that it's L.A. or somebody else, I don't think it matters particularly. You know, I don't think that puts any more heat on the collapse. But, you know, right away people point to Thornton and Marlowe, and they should. But where was Joe Pavelski and where was Logan Couture in that series? Remember last year, this is Couture's team. Well, if it's your team, then you've got to get, you know, you've got to take the negative responsibility too. And not that he tries to shun it. I mean, Couture's always a real stand-up guy. But they didn't get it done. You know, they didn't need to play great for four games. They needed to play great for one game. And they couldn't do it. No, their goaltending was nowhere near good enough. And I think that will be a position addressed into the offseason. For sure. Their defense, they lost Mark-Edward Vlasic, and that really, really hurt them. You know, Dan Boyle says he's got lots of hockey left, but he's 37 or 38 years old. I mean, there are places they can keep, you know, keep trying to get better, but when you play at a level like the Sharks, you can only be disappointing most of the time, right? Because the bar is so high. Like for Edmonton, if they get in the playoffs and lost next year, right, that's fine. They got in the playoffs.
Exactly.
Yep. San Jose, it's not good enough. They're good. They need to go deeper. Well, St. Louis is a hell of a team, and they're in the same in the same golf tournament as San Jose right now. You know, I mean, that you don't just explode the teams. They've done a lot of things right, but obviously it's not good enough. And I think San Jose, if they keep Todd McLellan, and I know that's Doug Wilson's recommendation, or he's going to recommend to the ownership. And I think Todd McLellan's a hell of a coach, by the way. Then they've got to address their goaltending. They've got to get better on the back end. And they've got to continue to maybe look for a depth piece to, you know, to help play alongside those top guys. Let's remember, too, Tomas Hertl was hurt for most of the year. He's 19 years old. He's not getting worse. He's getting better. You know, Joe Thornton, now you're starting to get into an age thing with Thornton and Marlowe. Their contracts are starting next year, their extensions. They're not going anywhere. So you've got to fill in around those guys still. And I mean, it's a good place to start, but unfortunately for them, it's becomes the record is getting a little old there, isn't it? It's just replaying and replaying and replaying.
Yeah, you wonder, and I understand the urge to want to make a change just because, but then you look and say, man, like they're always a really good team, and not many teams make the playoffs 10 years in a row, only two franchises do it. So they're obviously doing something right, except when they get to the playoffs.
Well, and so if you're going to fire Todd McLellan, who are you going to bring in that's better? I mean, that's your number one, you know, your number one point of attack. And number two, if you're you can't just go bring in different players. They've got to be an upgrade on what you have. I know when a team loses out, there's always blood in the water, and people want change, and they want big change, and they want it to happen now. Sometimes you can't make the change because the deal's not there. Sometimes the deal that is there, you look at it and go, oh, we're no better off. We're just kind of pushing deck chairs around the boat here. So if you can't improve, I wouldn't suspect that there would be great change. But I think in San Jose, there will be enough significant change that the team will look a little bit different next year.
Ray, always good to talk to you. We will discuss things next week. Where are we watching? Yeah, what games are you doing? What's your next game?
I'm in Anaheim. I'm on this
okay.
Series, so I'm in Anaheim
close to home
today, and then we got a a real tough travel day. We got to drive over to LA tomorrow.
Yeah, you got to be loving this. You could almost go home between days. Almost. It's that easy.
We looked at it, and we also looked at staying in the same hotel for 10 days, which would have been remarkable, but it just didn't quite work out. So we're not complaining, Jason. This is a good one.
Yeah, no, definitely. All right, Ray, we'll talk to you next Monday.
You betcha.